Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
This is it. From humble beginnings.
Who will rise above them all?
26 rounds of footy. One winner. One chance at immortality. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks the footy.
Saturday Triple M NRL. They say, of course, cometh the moment, cometh the man. The moment came last night, as it has over 17 years, I reckon, he's been running around in the top grade. I'm talking about the great Benji Marshall, Golden Point, did the job. Joins us now. G'day, mate.
Sweetly.
Didn't it come out beautifully? Oh.
Mate, that's one I've ever kicked, I reckon.
You didn't give yourself a lot. There wasn't a lot of room. You did have to thread the needle.
Yeah, well, people like say it's easy kick, but when you're getting pressured, like, you know, with them coming out of the line at you and they're cutting off your angle, you know, it's harder than it looks. So I'll just, to be honest, mate, just stoked that it went over, just for the boys' sake, you know, three losses in a row. And, you know, if that doesn't go over and we lose that game, the morale on the side can dramatically go down. And I just felt like we really needed that. So just happy to get the 2 points, mate.
What about, is it a field goal assist to Chris Lawrence then?
Oh, wow.
Come on, I've got to be loyal.
I was going to bring that up. The most important part when you kick a field goal is how fast the play the ball is. And I thought Chris was unlucky to score.
Yeah.
And you know, his speed of play the ball there gave me a good opportunity to get a good look. And in the midst of celebrating, like, we're all so pumped. And then I noticed Chris was a little bit down the ground. So instead of celebrating, we sort of went to Chris to see if he was okay. And the big fella was just a bit tired. You ain't been out of the game for a little while. Lungs were hurting a bit, but yeah, full credit to Chris there.
Yeah, we thought actually we messaged him after. We said, "Did you get hit in the Jets crackers?" And he said, "No, I just got really badly winded." So.
After what he's been through, that's going to be nothing. But hey, Benj, mate, really good start from you guys. Like, to be honest, I didn't think that you would give much in that first half against North Queensland, but
that's a vote of confidence.
After seeing what you threw up last week and going up there, I thought it'd be hard with Tal Malolo and obviously Michael Morgan. Mate, 18-0 up, you guys were on fire.
Yeah, we started well, and throughout the week we had a big session during the week where we really wanted to emphasise the way we started. And I just thought the first 20 minutes we gave a real good energy in both attack and defence, and sort of similar to how we started the Penrith game. And when our team sort of gets that confidence up and gets a bit of a roll on it, you know, I think we play good footy, and it's just finding the balance between maintaining that for 80 minutes. And, you know, to be honest, we played 40 minutes last night pretty good, and probably two good sets in Golden Point and the rest was a little bit terrible. So we got a lot to work with, mate. But like I said earlier, we needed those 2 points desperately, and to get them was a bonus for us.
Hey, Benj, lots of noise around the club at the moment. Where do you think it's coming from, and how's it affecting the group?
Yeah, it's coming from you, good.
Damn it.
And the media. And now that you've brought it up and brought more light to it, I have to talk about it. It's awesome. So the noise just keeps growing, you know? the funny thing is, like, no one's really spoken to the players about it. So we have a little bubble that we try and keep all our stuff in, and obviously this stuff's coming from outside our bubble. As you know, good, you can only control the things inside that group, and we wanted to try and control the footy side of things, and I thought the way we started, we did that, and look, we lost our way a little bit. And that's our job, is to play footy. Obviously, footy teams, when you're in a great team with great guys, you all want to stay together, but the reality of the situation is, teams change year after year, and obviously with the rules the way they are now, players come and go mid-season, and whether that benefits the club or the players, that just seems to be happening a lot more these days.
Benji, when in your early years, when you went up and had a win at Townsville, it was always a good night and a good celebration up there. Have times changed? Do you guys get to sort of go out after a good win up there now, or is it a little bit more subdued?
Yeah, it's a little bit different now, good, to be honest. But one thing we wanted to do last night was just, we've been working so hard at training, and obviously there's been a little bit of stress when you have three losses in a row. So a few of the guys had their hair down, had a couple of drinks last night, but nothing too ridiculous. We just enjoyed each other's company, and a few of the old fellas stayed home and played a bit of cards, and it was good, mate. It's just good to see the boys enjoy themselves.
Benji, I think it is right. It's kind of half your life you've run around on a footy field at the top level, haven't you? I think you're 34, 17 years. You've been doing it since you were 17. It's phenomenal. And you're talking about things that have changed. Remember we were chatting a couple of weeks ago, the old traditional ice bath, that's not really there. The science of it and trying to prepare yourself for the next week, it's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the hardest part for me at the moment is like the training, you know, day in, day out. The intensity of training is just through the roof, mate. Like it's what they do is they pair you up with a GPS, which monitors how fast you're running. They measure it in meters per second, and they try and get you up to the game level. So when the game comes, you're used to training at that level. So when it's game time, you're prepared for that. And for me, being a bit older, like the preparation that goes into getting ready every week in terms of recovery on the body, and just being able to get through the training and be able to deliver on the field, the professionalism is just lifted to another level. And it's tough, I'll be honest. But when you love what you do, mate, and I think that's where a little bit gets lost, is a few players can lose perspective of how lucky we are to have rugby league. Like, look how lucky you guys are. You're in the studio talking on the radio. Some of you talk shit, some of you talk the truth. No names, Wendell, but
I'm living out of it. So will you, mate. Yeah, don't worry about that.
You know what I mean? Like, rugby league is just such a great game, and I think sometimes you can forget how lucky we are to be able to live in this arena. And and I think that's what's really helped me get through this year, especially, is just realising how lucky, first of all, I am to be back at the Tigers, and then secondly, just to be playing first grade after 17 years. I feel like it's a great achievement and something I'm really proud of.
Well, speaking of being grateful, you're back at the Tigers. I know you said you never thought you'd get back there, but back in the Kiwi squad as well, and potentially in line for your first game in 7 years, did you ever think this day would come again?
No, I didn't, I'll be honest, Emma. I lost a bit of hope there for a while, but one thing I've always said is I'll never say no to a Kiwi jersey. And I was actually really shocked when Madge told me that he selected me in the squad. I just actually couldn't believe it. And the funny thing is when something gets taken away from you, and I've been through it a few times, is you don't really understand how much you want something until it gets taken away. And for me, that Kiwi jumper is something that I've really aspired to and wanted to get back to. So to just be able to be mentioned in that squad is something I'm proud of, whether I get selected for the team or not. That's not the be-all and end-all, but I'm just proud to be mentioned in that arena. And I think for someone at my age, that's something pretty special at 34 to get that opportunity again.
Well, I know, Benji, that you love doing things in and around football, but off the field you like playing golf and then spending a lot of time with your young bloke. He seems like a really cool little dude.
Yeah, it's, again, one of those things that, and you know yourself, Wendell, it gives you perspective on life as having a kid. And for me, being a dad's the most important job in my life. Well, it's not a job, it's actually a privilege, but it's something that I really feel is really helping me relax. And, I really have to grow up and mentor the guys and be more of a leader, not only at home, but within the club of the Tigers as well. So I really feel like becoming a dad's really helped me just mature. You know, I was a bit of a kid, but like you still are, Wendell.
Yeah, for sure, mate. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wendell's wife had a couple of kids a few years ago, but I mean, Wendell, I'm not sure. He still understands.
I'm just part time. I told you.
He does.
You're just an easy target, mate.
I just come. She needs a bit of a hand. I'll babysit her kids for her. Yeah.
Just quickly, Ben, Robbie Farah, he came back at the bye weekend. Of course, he went to Madrid, saw his team Liverpool run around and have a win. He came back. He said to you it was the best day of his life. Did you mention, like,
mate,
you two?
This is the biggest bullshit I've ever heard from Farah. He said, mate, I can't tell you, it was the best day of my life. And I was like, mate, we won in 05. And he said, nah, this is better.
Oh,
seriously. Like, honestly, we got to get rid of him. It's like, Ryan Madison's going to. Ryan Madison just asked me to say, tell them to tell Freddie to pick me for Origin.
Mate, tell Ryan Madison I'm all about self-promotion. I used to ring Wayne and say, mate, make sure they pick me, okay?
I love it. A man putting his hand up for them.
But that's my push for him.
Benji Marshall, it is so great to speak to you, as it always is, to catch up. Thanks so much for joining us, buddy.
Nah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Roger Aldridge joins us now. G'day, mate.
Hello, Tony. G'day, team.
Hey, Roger Dodger.
Yeah, we're very keen on the first two games. In fact, all three, but Super Saturday, Knights and Storm. Now, what is it, the last 11 games between them they've won? Who's going to miss out today?
Well, the punters are split 50-50 now. The early money is with Newcastle at about 3-1, but it's just come late for Melbourne, as you'd expect. They're $1.40. Newcastle $3 into $2.90. The line on this one's 7.5 points. So the bookie's very much with Melbourne, but punters can't split them.
Yeah, Roger, this second one looks like a ripper as well. Do the punters expect the Panthers to add South Sydney to their recent list of scalps?
They do, yeah. Souths are 145 out to 155. The Panthers have been 270 into $2.40. Money very much with Penrith in this one. The line is 4.5.
And Roger, what about my boys, the Broncos, tonight taking on the Eels? Whoever wins this will go into the eight. Who are the punters backing here?
They're backing the Broncos at a rate of 2-1 at the moment. $1.78 Parramatta, so still favourite, and do play their new home ground well. But who knows how Brisbane are going to play. They're $2.02 outsiders. And the line on this one, 1.5 points. So, yeah, yes, it should be an absolutely ripping Saturday afternoon. I'm just about to settle in downstairs with the TV on and Triple M on
beautiful
the radio.
Who's your favourite Triple M, mate?
Pardon?
Who's your favourite Triple M?
My favourite Triple M.
Triple M.
Who's your favourite at Triple M?
Just say Wendell and get the pony.
I'm going to say Wendell. Well, yeah, thank you. Me and Wendell, we used to do a bit of it on the Brekkie Show at Channel 10 back in the day. So I've got
yeah, we did too. We did.
Oh. You didn't survive that either?
Did anyone survive Channel 10?
Exactly, mate.
Roger Aldridge, thank you so much. Just check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself. Remember, gamble responsibly. Yes, you are at 10 at the moment.
Oh, you are, mate. Yeah. Isn't it just getting me some... Oh, no, actually, I don't need any more work there. Honestly, I'm too busy as it is.
Yeah, come work with us.
I'll work with Maroon and my days off and stuff. We give community love out there and corporate stuff anyway.
Okay.
About us.
All right.
Channel 10 don't pay cash.
Time to put the thinking caps on. Time to put the thinking caps on for this.
Ladies and gentlemen. 3 in 5.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 in 5.
1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 in 5, everybody.
You know how it works. You have 5 seconds to give me 3 answers. Questions are fairly easy. It's okay. Just the pressure that builds, yeah. Origin-like.
Oh, just, we come to the right place. Just get me straight off.
Hit you? I'm not going to hit you first, though.
Okay, sweet.
Wait your turn. I'm going to hit you first, Gerds. The theme, if there is a theme at all, it's because State of Origin 2 is in beautiful Western Australia.
Uh-huh.
You remember?
It is, yes.
It's a beautiful Perth.
Yep.
The ground could be a bit harder. I'm not sure about that. I think the NRL's sending over some experts.
Optus Stadium, thank you.
Optus Stadium, thank you. All right, so these are themed on Western Australia and Perth. So, Ryan Girdler, I'll start with you. Could you name 3 Western Australian sporting franchises?
The Reds, the Eagles, the Force, and the... No, that's it.
The Force is no longer...
Either of the Reds.
No. The Western Force are still playing in the Andrew Twiggy Forest's competition, so they still are there. The Western Reds were there, no longer, I would say. But I'm going to give you the 3 because I didn't specify whether they should be still existing.
You didn't.
Okay. All right, M, good luck with this. Could you? It's a big, big state, West Australia. Massive. Lots of people.
Don't choke.
Lots of towns. Could you name 3 towns apart from Perth?
Scarborough. I've got no idea.
What happened?
What?
The time just went. It was a bit Cody Walker-like. Just couldn't get yourself involved.
Speaking like a very loyal New South Wales supporter you were.
I think Cody Walker should be there. We'll get to still with that in a minute. All right, Del, you need 4 and 3 and 5 to beat Gerds. He mentioned the Western Reds. Why don't we go there? Can you name 3 players for the Western Reds in 1995?
Yes, Jamie Fritz, Chris Ryan, and Matt Fuller. And, I've won! Tied!
This Jamie Fritz.
Jamie Fritz.
Who's that?
Yeah. I know Jamie Fritz. Matt Fuller.
Yes.
See, I had Mark Geyer, Matt Geyer, Rodney Howe, Robbie Kearns, Brad McKay.
Yeah, but I like to go where people know those people. You know, I like to go a bit different.
You just wanted to throw names that don't exist at
you. See, they do.
Problem.
Mate, Google it and I bet you I win.
We'll check it out. Ryan Girdler, you are the nominal winner until we work out.
No! Those 3 names are right! Oh, you know what? I'm done, mate. This is a stitch-up.
Let's go to the bunker.
Saturday Triple M NRL. We're going to chat with Blues hooker Kylie Hilder from the Women's State of Origin coming up shortly.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. For Ream Hot Water, get your boots out! Triple M Footy.
Yeah, we were playing 3 and 5. There was a bit of controversy at the back end of 3 and 5.
Have we sorted it out, Tony? What happened?
The question for Wendell was, name three people played for the Western Reds 1995 when they started.
It was an easy one too.
Well, you didn't go for MG. Go for Matt Geyer. Didn't go for Robbie Kearns and Brad McKay because they played St George in the first game. Brad McKay played.
It was a big story.
It was. Well, I was there. It was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fun.
Who won that game?
Unlike the State of Origin, I won't be going to Perth for, I understand. But that's, look, it's not about me. It's not over yet, Tony.
You've still got a few days to. You're putting in a good course.
Am I putting my case
forward? Yeah.
All right. So you went with, who was your
Matt
Fritz?
Fuller.
You went Matt Fuller, and I've looked up correct. Yes, he was there.
Yep. You went Chris Ryan?
Correct. He was there.
Yeah.
And then I went Dale Fritz.
No, you didn't.
Oh, sorry. I meant to go Dale Fritz.
Who did you say? You said
Jamie Fritz is another
Jamie Fritz. I think you're thinking about Jamie Foxx. Yeah.
No, he's a friend of Ben Eichens and I. He used to be up at North Queensland. We used to be friends from like Mad Cow days and that, you know, when you used to go to the nightclubs and bars.
Are you friends with everyone from Queensland?
Yeah, because, mate, I'm that sort of person that I want to be friends with everyone and they want to be friends with me. Right. It's sort of a two-way street.
It's a busy life. See, I've narrowed it down to just two friends now. I'm not taking any more friends. I haven't got time for friends.
Mm.
Like, it's boring. You just got to look after yourself, Wendell.
Yeah.
Dale Fritz.
Don't worry, I'll do that too.
Dale Fritz was correct.
Yes.
Jamie Fritz was incorrect. So it stands, Ryan Girdler, you are the winner of this week's 3 in 5. All right, and it's not just one State of Origin. There is a terrific game that will be played at North Sydney Oval Friday night, the 21st of June. Kickoff's at 7:45. If you're in Sydney, you should get along. Last year's was an absolutely brilliant game of rugby league. The Blues taking on the Maroons. It'll be called also. It's on Fox League, but it's also on the Triple M NRL app. Gerds, you're calling.
Yeah, Maroon Iger. To call that on Friday.
Indeed. Who's sideline, Renee Gardner?
Indeed she is.
Sure.
And somebody who will be out in the middle is the Blues hooker, Kylie Hilda. She joins us now. G'day, Kylie.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Congratulations. You must have been thrilled when you heard your name called out.
Yes, the phone call on the Tuesday was pretty exciting. It was totally out of the blue for me, so I'm pretty excited and looking forward to the week ahead.
And have you? The team's obviously getting together. How are the Blues looking?
We had a quick get-together last Sunday and then we're all heading back into camp tomorrow, so we'll all be together for the week leading into Friday. But look, there's a few new faces in there, and but the feel was really good with everyone there on Sunday, so it should be good.
Kylie, you were involved in the commentary of the last one, weren't you? How did that differ to playing? Did you enjoy the commentary side of things?
I did. I got the call up to go and do the commentary with Fox because I had originally been selected last year, but then I'd ruptured my MCL, so I was ruled out. So had the opportunity to go in there and do the commentary with the Fox guys, and it was actually a great experience. I really liked it.
Well, the last couple of years, you started to get some, I think, much-deserved publicity in and around the game, but I've watched the girls over the years, Kezzy Apps and that, play at grassroots level, obviously up there in Queensland. It's come a long way, hasn't it, in our women's rugby league, and it's about time.
Oh, absolutely. It's as the years are going on, the girls are getting more and more recognition, which is great. But, you know, even the professional side of it's starting to increase as well. So, which is wonderful, because what's happening now is we're starting to get those athletes back to our game and playing the game of rugby league.
A lot of expectation on you guys this year, Kylie, obviously winning last year's game and obviously New South Wales, the men's side, losing the first one. So a lot of New South Wales hopes will be pinned on you guys on Friday night.
Probably will be, but I don't think we'll be, we won't be too concerned about all that. We know that we've got the right team to do what we need to do. And, you know, obviously New South Wales have won the last three with a draw in there as well. Sorry, but Queensland had a very good run for a long time in the women's. So.
Yeah,
we just got to keep that role happening now from our end. And, you know, I think the coach, we've got a new coach in there as well, Andy Patmore. So I think he's done really, really well with his selection. It's going to be exciting.
And at club level as well, are you having an assistant coaching role with the Roosters this year? Is that right?
Yeah, I've been penciled in to assist Rick Stones taking the Roosters women's this year. So I had talks earlier in the year with the Roosters in regards to taking on that role. They asked me to, but I've also had a conversation the last couple of weeks about maybe playing now, so I'm sort of not making any decisions until after the Origin.
Mm. Now, Kylie, I know it can be considered rude to talk about age, but at 43, your story is remarkable to be playing in this game. In terms of those years, keeping yourself at the top of condition and so on, you would note and yourself agree that it's a pretty amazing stat.
Yeah, look, I played touch football at a very high level, so I played for Australia for 20 years. And that was just basically after that, I was bored, to be honest. I was like, okay, I've got nothing to train for. And I'd always loved rugby league and thought I'd go back and give it a crack. And, yeah, I've sort of been playing good football in the last couple of years. And a lot of hard work goes in behind the scenes that no one sort of sees, you know, the up at 5:30s and training after dark and things like that. But you only do it because you love it. And, yeah, basically that's why I do it.
You got a couple of kids?
I have two boys, yes. I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old.
And are they thrilled and proud to see mum run around?
Yeah, absolutely. They love it, especially the 14-year-old, because he's getting at that age where he loves his football as well. So he's actually proud of his mother, which most mums can't say their 14-year-old boys are. So that's good.
Hey, Kyle, I think one thing that's really good too, even outside the game, you're seeing a few of the girls get some sponsorship, personal sponsorship and stuff. But I did something a few weeks back where on P&O Cruise, and Meg Ward, she got named as an ambassador. I reckon that's a big step, you know, not just in and around the game because they're respecting what you do, but also with her profile off the field. And I think, you know, she's in the service there. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of those girls now in our game. As you spoke about, Kezzy Apps is quite a well-known person with our game. You got Meg, you got Isabel Kelly, you know, Yusemi Bremner, she's off pregnant at the moment, but
yes,
the names of these girls are starting to get out there and these girls are getting recognised and they're quite well known. So, you know, yeah, you mentioned my age. I wish this was happening 10 or 15 years ago, but look, the game, the women's game is only going upwards and it will only increase, and hopefully one day we'll be able to see that there will be actually full-time rugby league players playing the game.
Yeah, I think people like yourself and even Ruan Sims, when I listen to her on Channel 9 and watch her on that show, on the Channel 9 show, I reckon it's great insight. You girls were the originals.
Yeah, I had an interview last weekend and, you know, it was 10 years ago the last time I played for New South Wales, and I said, you know, we turned up out at Penrith Stadium and was given our gear before the game. We had to get changed out the back of the sheds. Basically went on the field, played the game, finished, took a gear off, that was the end. I said, so, you know, things have really, really changed in our game. And as I mentioned earlier, the reason that we're starting to get all of these really athletic type girls back to our game now is because there is a clear pathway, there's more opportunities, you know, there's more to offer in the women's game. So we're starting to get these girls coming back and playing rugby league rather than playing, you know, your touch footballs or your rugby union or your netball. So it's exciting times and I can only see that it's going to keep going upwards.
Yeah, it's a great story, as are you, Kylie. North Sydney Oval, Friday night, 7:45 p.m. kickoff, as I said, on the Triple M NRL app. Maroon, Ryan Girdler, Renee Gartner there as well, and as will you be. Congratulations. Lovely story.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kylie.
There she is, Kylie Hilda. Sterlo will join us next. Whenever he decides to stride in, Girds, it just lifts us a little bit. I'm talking about the genius that is Mr. Peter Sterling. Sterlo, welcome.
Afternoon, guys and listeners. I just had to finish my chocolate eclair.
Oh, what?
How good are they, really?
Whoa. Are you a regular? Is this a once-a-week thing or, you know, is your body a temple?
Once a day, if possible. No, I've got a very sweet tooth, unfortunately, and chocolate eclairs, when it comes to the list of desserts, like it's up at the
It's point. An old school dessert too, isn't it? The old chocolate eclair.
Oh, I didn't know that. Came
okay, where do you get it from, Pete?
There's a place down, like right downstairs here. That Bread Tops or something, is it?
Okay.
Is that, yeah, they're good.
Chocolate.
I just thought I'd share that with you. That's got nothing to do with what we're going to talk about.
We should share the eclair instead.
Custard or cream?
Oh, no, cream.
Cream.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've explored chocolate eclairs enough. There's not that much to them, but highly recommended.
Sterlo does lift the energy, but Tony, would you say it's more so you enjoy having Sterlo or you enjoy getting rid of Wendell?
It's a little bit, look, apart from column A, apart from column B, certainly. Have you enjoyed the week? There's an interesting this week with the decision supposedly already been made that Mitchell Pearce and Nathan Cleary will play in the halves for New South Wales next Sunday in State of Origin 2. That would, we'd imagine, meant that Cody Walker probably misses out if Jack Whiten stays on the bench. The idea then, I guess, is two-part. A, would they really have made that decision before this weekend? I mean, this afternoon, you're calling. Mitchell Pearce will be playing at Cameron Munster. They're playing against the Storm this afternoon. Plenty of opportunity. Cody Walker will be up against Nathan Cleary in the next game. There's so much you could look at that may change things.
Yeah, if the decision had been made, I'm surprised it got out. Yep. One thing that Freddie and the boys have been pretty strong on is making sure that they keep their cards close to their chest, which they certainly did before game one. But I think James Hooper came out and made that declaration that that was the way it's going to be. So I don't know. I'm getting confused, to be honest. Firstly, in regards to game one, you know, was it a performance that merited four or five changes to the next team? Obviously not. Now, we've got two forced changes straight away with no Nick Kotrick and obviously David Clemmer out. So there's two changes anyway. Only three sessions that they will have for the shortened turnaround, so there's not much time to work on that. And the big question out of game one was, can the squad of players that the boys chose for the first game rectify what they needed to do from game one? And to me, looking at game one, I thought our kicking game, our short kicking game in the first half was poor, didn't get it in goal enough, and Damien Cook had one or two there as well. So, yes, that can be fixed. Secondly, I think the initiative was grabbed by Queensland in the first 15 minutes of that second half. That took Cody Walker out of the game. Like, if you're coming off your own line for 15 or 20 minutes, Cody Walker doesn't feature.
Yep.
You know, and that's so it's understandable that Jack Whiten came in as the kind of person they needed. And then it was no surprise necessarily for him to come back for that last 15 or 20 minutes. So, yes, they can rectify that as well. And I guess the other thing was the fact that we made really good ground through the middle corridor, especially in that first 40 minutes. And did we take full advantage of that? Probably not, no. But I think the players that are there could do that. So, you know, I'm not one for change. I'd be happy. I'd be delighted for Mitchell Pearce to come in. I would love. When we got beaten in 27, and when we were 3 minutes away from winning the series there, I was gutted for every New South Wales player, but more so Mitchell Pearce than anybody else, because I'd seen what he'd been through. If anybody deserves to win a State of Origin series, it is Mitchell Pearce. And if he comes in, I would love him to be able to help turn things around and come back to Sydney and win 2-1. But, you know, I'd be quite happy to stick with the boys that are there now. I'm not one for change on the back of a performance. We got beaten by four, which equates to an intercept try. And not much needs to be rectified. And I think that the people there can fill the holes that were needed in that just those small areas in the opening game.
Should that
Did
be
that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But
the other thing I want to say, Tony, is that when I say I get confused, when you're talking left or right, to me that's just where they defend. Like if you're picking a halfback and a 5/8, they're playing all over the field. They're going. They can play first receiver. They can play second receiver, and vice versa. You know, when you're talking about will this work and that work, honestly, it's a simple game. Don't confuse it. Don't make it complicated. Just if you're talking about one playing left, one playing right, that's where they defend. But when we've got the football, it's carte blanche. They can go wherever they want.
So therefore, this whole thing about Nathan Cleary wearing a 6, but he's not. He's a 7. Mitchell Pearce. If that was the scenario, that doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
That's my head in. Honestly, it does my head in. If, like, guys these days, you know, they play first or second receiver really comfortably. And I don't think that's a stretch for any of those players. And certainly at this level, you know, you can work in. It's, now, you don't have to have a stamp that, okay, because you've got that number on the back, that's the way that you have to play. These guys can play first and second receiver comfortably. Give them another 3 sessions together and I think that they'll be fine.
But it's not just fans saying that. It's former players and that are now commentating, working for either Nine or Fox, saying that it can't work.
Well, look, and they may well be right. This is just my opinion, Em.
Yeah.
You know, like I look at the game fairly simply, you know, I think sometimes we do try and complicate and overcomplicate things to, you know, when, and there's so much dissection of the game these days. And I love that stuff. I love the technical side of things. But ultimately, just get out there and play. And if, regardless of what number's on your back, and if you are a 5/8 or a halfback in inverted commas in today's game, I honestly think at this level, it's not a stretch to be able to just play whatever role is needed at that time. Just play what's in front of you and get in the right position to do so.
Pete, you spoke about those two force changes. Obviously, you'd think Tommy, given he comes through tomorrow, okay, we'll slide back into that wing position. What do you do up front for Dave Clemmer?
Well, I had Matt Lodge in my first team, so I'd have Matt Lodge in there. I think he's had a really good season. I think I said at the time he's very similar to Payne Haas in a number of ways, but maybe a little bit more seasoned. He's a big man. He's got a great motor. He's got some footwork. He's got an offload in him. You know, I think he's in the last 3 years he's done everything that he possibly can to, I suppose, make up. Well, I don't know if you ever make up for it, but you know, I think he's done everything right in recent seasons, so that shouldn't be kept out. The thing with Tom Trbojevic, I know what they – I don't think they what they were concerned about drop balls and that. You know, Tommy's special. You know, he was more about his movement as to, I think that was the concern, yeah, as to whether they thought that he was, like, a couple of times there when he had a chance to go bang, he didn't. And to me, that was probably what Brad Fittler and Brandy and that saw a little bit more in regards to drop balls and all those kind of things. That won't happen, you know, game under his belt. But if his movement is not what it needs to be, then that would be the question mark over Tom. But I think he just comes straight in.
What about the bench? You'd make any changes there? Would you
Would you bring Wade Graham in?
No, I'm happy with the bench. You know, Angus Crichton wasn't a standout, but I'm not one to make changes, and I don't think we need to make many changes. Yep. I'm happy to go with Angus again. You know, this game will be different to game one, so you know we'll see different performances and different input and all those kind of things. And I figure if he was there for game one, I'm happy for him to be there game two.
One change that Queensland will have to make, despite what Kevin Walters said earlier today, we played it, that he's a Queenslander, Jai Arrow. He'll be there. He'll be flying to Perth and he'll be good to go. It's just been official that Jai Arrow has been ruled out of Origin series, likely out for 6 to 12 weeks with significant ankle ligament damage.
Okay. Right.
So that's
6 to 12 weeks.
6 to 12 weeks. So despite he's a Queenslander, he'll play.
So he'll be over there, but it'll be in a moon boot, basically. If you're allowed to fly, I don't know in those instances.
Still plenty of time to pick the brain
seat there for you, Tony.
Yeah. Woo, I'm there.
What day are you going over, Tony? Because I'm going to play a little bit of golf early. Joondalup, the Vines. And
I love all the ups.
Mount Lawley. Yeah. So if you're keen to play.
I'm very keen to play.
And you're obviously over there.
Yes, I'm obviously not. I'm obviously sitting on my big fat backside by myself on the couch watching it on television. But you know what the good news is? I'm not bitter and twisted about it. Saturday, Triple M NRL.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. Triple M Footy. Let's go! For Ream Hot Water.
40 minutes away from kickoff. The Knights and the Storm should be a great game of footy. We're going to do a bit of digging deep into that in just a moment. Just a question without notice to Peter Sterling. Kalyn Ponga, you just throwing the bank at him?
Oh, you're trying to keep him. Yeah. I agree with them. And she said earlier, like, his marketability is better than anybody and we need him to be the face of our game. But I was just talking to Gerds off air a little bit about upgrades and things like that. I never signed a contract that I wasn't happy with. Now, I think we'd have both liked more money at times kind of thing. But I just thought, well, you sign a contract and when that contract finishes, then you hope that you're in a great bargaining position and you can get more money because you've performed type thing. So I get a little bit nervous about upgrades and, you know, what that means and what that effect is and mentally how that sort of situation. But in regards to our game, we need Kalyn Ponga to be a part of it. We need to market him as well as possible. And in that marketing, then I'd like to think that's where the extra funds would come in for him in some shape or form. But, you know, if you're a club like Newcastle, the big thing about the salary cap is, you know, you want to get value for money. And obviously Newcastle have.
They took a chance though, Pete, too, didn't they?
And
they
it could blow up in their face.
They need to get rewarded for that because it could have blown up in their face and it's obviously not going to. So where's the benefit for them taking a chance and going through that process that they did and, you know, rolling the dice?
So I'd hate to think his role at the Knights would be jeopardised by, you know, possible finances there. If there is to be a topping up, then I do think that for the markability that he has in our game, that needs to be directed somehow and addressed.
Yep. All right. He gets a decent stage again this afternoon, doesn't he, in Melbourne against the Storm. I like Nathan Brown's quote today saying that the Knights have played terrific good for the last 6 weeks and the Storm have been doing it for the last 15 years, which is pretty right. I mean, they're such an amazing, solid outfit and have been for so long. Gerds, do you see the Knights? Do they have a shot?
Oh, they definitely look. Dave, I wish Dave Clemmer was in their side going down there because he gives them so much. And they're obviously, it's a place where you need to go. And it's always confrontation down there because, you know, they're a really hard side to beat in Melbourne and they're a big, aggressive pack. We were just talking about the former Nelson Asofa Solomona. He's one of those sort of guys in our game that I think Melbourne need to get more consistency out of because, I mean, he can be the best prop in the game for 3 or 4 weeks in a row and then, unfortunately, he just sort of falls away and you don't see him for a window. And he's a guy, especially during this Origin period, that needs to stand up. And it's a game against Newcastle who are going down there to play six in a row that he needs to be the guy at the front. We know what you're going to get from Jesse Bromwich and you know what you're going to get from Cam and Felice Kafusi is in great form. But I think if they win that battle through the middle, it'll make it really hard for the Knights to continue on their winning way. I just think it's a tough afternoon in Melbourne.
it'll be a good test for the Knights and a couple of players too who, according to Wendell and his sources, the Maroons will be looking at very closely, Christian Welsh for the Storm and then Tim Glasby as well for the Knights, whether he'll get back into that side or not. And then Freddie is going to be sweating on hopefully the likes of Josh Adokar get through, and then for Kevy too, Will Chambers and Kalen Ponga. And a late change too for the Knights, Josh King out, so Pasami Solo comes onto their bench, and the Storm are 1-17.
Mitchell Pearce obviously is a man who's been in the headlines. His 5'8 partner, Kurt Mann, he's done well over the past few weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done a great job, and I think that they've kind of determined that that's the best place he can play there, and that obviously impacts on Connor Watson, especially when Danny Levi comes back. But for this afternoon, you know, I think it certainly serves them well up against his old club. I think they'll be on this afternoon, Melbourne. I think Craig Bellamy will love this confrontation, you know, up against a side that have sort of emerged now. Melbourne haven't been great at times this year. Their first half against the Warriors last week was pretty ordinary. They had no rights to go in 10-8 down after 40 minutes. You know, they'd been outplayed. We saw the same thing against the Canterbury side earlier in the year. So they're not the side they were, but they are still a benchmark team. But I got a feeling that, you know, they'll be on. I think Sofa Solomona, as you point out, he'll be on, and I would feel much more comfortable for Newcastle if David Clemmer was there to kind of meet that confrontation. Yep. So, look, I'd love to see Newcastle win. I think they'll be right in the contest. They need to be prepared to win this in the 80th minute.
Yep.
They need to somehow nullify Cameron Smith, who has been remarkable this season and is, again, their greatest advantage this afternoon. But Newcastle, go down there really confident and a chance of knocking them over.
20 seconds, Gerds. Your Panthers a little bit resurgent. The Rabbitohs struggling a little bit, obviously, through the Origin period. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I really give them a chance this afternoon, the Panthers, especially after that performance last week. Even though it was a depleted Roosters outfit, it was just about their attitude and energy that was really positive. Those two halves, we can get the best out of them, and they're a chance of going on and beating anyone. And also their outside backs, they've just limited their errors and growing in confidence on a weekly basis. So I give them a chance.
All right, ready for a terrific kickoff. Thank you, Stirl. Remember, Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy.